Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
In a show of force, after first stating that he would give them 2 weeks, America has initiated a strike on Iran, thereby proving the president had no intention of edging himself for that long. The strikes were carried out by a group of Freedom Doritos, dropping groups of MOPs, moist oral penetrators, and a couple of subs firing Tomahawk missiles like it was the 4th of July. Welcome to the Now We Consume podcast. I'm your host, Pip, here as always with my co-host, Gibbs.
You mentioned the president edging himself. I don't like this. I don't like your intro. Once again, I don't like that.
It was the most beautiful edging ever in the history of ever.
I think I'm good. I think I'm taking a leave of absence.
Melania, come here. I need you to help me with the edging.
You know, I would give him credit if he could still get it up at his age. Like
that is a life goal of mine at that age.
But to be 75 and still walking around just penis first.
Everywhere. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I need to break my dick off when I run into a door and not my nose.
God, so you're gonna be that weird guy that walks around with a leash and don't want to have to tell women why.
Uh-huh. I walk myself, thank you.
Jesus Christ.
So, a quick side note. We are going to be talking about all the bullshit going on in the Middle East this week, but we are dropping 2 episodes this week, the one you're currently listening to, and one that was done last night. I had an opportunity to do an interview with some Gen Z kids. Give it a chance. It actually turned out a lot better than I thought it would. My son Josh and a couple of his friends were involved. We had a good time. The episode went long enough, or the interview rather, went long enough to be a whole episode in and of itself. We were going to include it as a like a bonus extra at the end of this episode, but we decided to just go ahead and give it its whole own show listing. So it is audio only. They were cool with doing the interview, but they did not want to do it on camera. So there is that. But check that out. It was a good time. And if Gibbs can keep his equipment together, we'll just keep going with the show.
Sorry, my microphone condom fell off. I was like the whole foam thing and everything just hit me. That was weird. That scared the shit out of me. I'm not used to my microphone attacking me.
Well, you know, when that piece falls off, now you're just going to have microphone babies. So it's okay.
I know. It's going to be weird. It's going to be loud.
All right. So yeah. This has been a fun week. We delivered a boatload of freedom to Iran, and we're going to see what happens now.
Well, it's been an interesting development. When I do have to give him a bit of credit, that at least it was done in the probably least intrusive way when it comes to American involvement. So.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those things where it had to happen. I understand it. We'll go over the details, but
right.
I'm just glad at the end of the day, no American lives have been lost in that. And that's actually a big step up from almost every single other engagement we had in the Middle East.
Exactly. So, and one little point of note, or note of point, rather. This is everything that we know and have access to as of the evening of June 23rd, 2025, when we're recording this. In fact, right before we started the episode, we caught a major update, and it was enough to even make us question doing the episode. But after talking with each other, we felt there was still enough going on that it was worth continuing on with. We did have to change a little bit of the topic information, but there's still maybe not so much fire and smoke, but there are still enough other maybe tertiary threats or ancillary threats, at least. Yeah. So we're going to kind of focus on those a little more than we were going to focus on all the stuff with Iran and Israel themselves. So
there's still so much surrounding this, and this problem of Iran has really been a problem since the mid late 90s. So, and the fact that it's still not going away, this is a band-aid. So I think there's a lot more outside of this to discuss. That sure, the strike on the nuclear research facility and development facility went well, but that's a small bit of a large piece.
Yeah.
That has to do with the Middle East. So,
yeah. So, just about an hour ago at this point, it came out that a ceasefire agreement has been reached. So that is a major step forward in this whole ordeal. I had sent that to you, Gibbs.
Yes.
Yeah. So I
basically on the 24th or the morning of the 24th here on the East Coast, basically there will be an effective ceasefire.
Yeah.
Between Iran and Israel.
Yes.
And from what he was, I don't know if you want me to read it or do you want me just kind of
go ahead.
A summary?
Yeah, but do what you want.
Okay, I was going to say, because I just want to get the words right here, because I think some of the words here are a bit important with what's used. He says, you know, congratulations. This is on his post from Truth Social, because it's not on Twitter or anything like that. You have to go there to get it. It says, congratulations to everyone. It has been fully agreed by between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours from now, or basically in the morning of the 24th. Between Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their progress final missions for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended officially. Then Iran will start the ceasefire, and upon the 12th hour, Israel will start the ceasefire, and upon the 24th hour, an official end to the 12-day war will be saluted by the world. Basically, he's just talking about there's an effective ceasefire in place. But the concern here is, number one, will both sides honor it?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be any shenanigans going on afterwards?
Right.
And or is this just a stopgap measure? Because the problem has been with Iran, again, really since the 90s, is we've heard this for, I want to say, every election cycle since Bush v. Gore back in 2000. It's been every single election cycle is Iran is 1 or 2 years away from nukes. Iran is 1 or 2 years away. They're going to drop the nukes. And it's like, yes, I 100% understand Iran. Just for some background for everybody, they are the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. They're responsible for millions of deaths. They're responsible for billions and trillions of dollars worth of destruction. Most of those terrorism groups that we've seen internationally, either a majority or a large part of the money and funding and weapons, everything comes from Iran. And Iran has relatively close ties with Russia and China. So in a way, it's another proxy war, just like you had Vietnam and Korea, to where they are the proxy of the Eastern powers like Russia and China. So that's why Israel's kind of our proxy in the West, you know, for America and kind of parts of Europe for the Middle East. So it's been this proxy war for well over 20 years. And it's been building to a moment of what will happen. And this has been kind of the boiling point of a decision had to be made. The good news, the strike went well. And I don't know if you saw the photos of what was. So there's a bit of background to this because I want to explain something.
There were topographical changes made to that mountaintop at Fordo.
Yeah, the geology will never be the same in that area. It is permanently changed. So here's some background information. Back in the mid to early 2000s, we were developing some of the armor penetrating bombs, called bunker busters, essentially. So we had those developed, and it was public knowledge that they could go about 200 to 250 feet down. So the Iranians, thinking they're smart, they're like, oh, we're going to build this 300 to 400 feet down. They forgot that we're really good at making things that go boom and putting it right in your face.
Also, we're really good at aiming.
Well, yeah, especially nowadays with the GPS guided stuff that they have, they can get it within a few inches. So they spent all this time in all these years building this secret underground nuclear bunker thinking we're safe. We're good. There's only going down 250 feet. You dumb shits. Do you understand that was over a decade ago when those came out? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're fine. We're a threat to anybody. Yeah, no. Absolutely not. The bombers were already on the way back before anyone even knew they were there. That's how effective they were.
Yeah.
There were no radar signatures figured out. Nobody called it. Nobody nothing.
Nobody leaked anything on Slack.
No, which is interesting, by the way, that Trump purposefully didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That was happening.
It was literally like five people that knew.
Which, and can I make a quick point here? Because I think people need to understand. This is a slight point into politics that I think we do have to discuss as a bit of a framework here. The president is allowed. He is the commander chief of the military. He has the sole authority to move the military as seen fit with these kind of missions and, you know, sorties and kind of different responsibilities. He does not need Congress's permission to do something like this.
So doesn't
it is not official declaration of war.
Doesn't he have like 30 days after he initiates some kind of like military engagement before he has to seek approval to continue?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
It is. I thought it was 2 weeks in some cases, but usually about a month. Now, there's a reason for this, historical context, because I want to give people this to understand why. It is because our founding fathers came from England to where they were used to parliamentary procedure, where when a war would break out or something would happen, the parliament would be busy arguing for weeks before anything was ever done. In the case of like the French and Indian War and a few other things that happened between other major powers, they saw that parliamentary procedure, quite frankly, took too long. So that's why the executive branch has sole authority over the military. So for anybody online that's saying, oh, he doesn't have the authority to do that, he doesn't have the authority to declare war. First of all, he did not declare war. And second of all, he is the commander in chief. He can do what he wants. Third of all, you guys know that Obama did that well over 600-700 times. Biden did that over 200 times. George Bush did that thousands of times. Almost every president, I can keep going down the list, I can get you numbers, but almost all of them have ordered strikes in countries that we are not at war with. It is unfortunate that, because I disagree with it fundamentally, it's an unfortunate part of, I guess, American politics that we're kind of forced into. I don't agree with the idea of dropping bombs on any other country that we're not at war with, because quite frankly, we don't need to be the world police. We don't need to be, you know, the military force of the world.
Team America.
But at the same point, this became one of those problems of, well, do we not do anything? Because Iran was also launching a lot of missiles at Israel. And I'm not a big defender of Israel, I'll be honest with you. I'm not one of those people that thinks we should sacrifice a bunch to defend them. But it enters the problem of their only ally in the region. So, like, it's one of those things that, like, they're not a great country, but, like, they're the only country that kind of has our backs. So I guess we're kind of stuck there. I know I'm getting a little lost in the weeds on politics, but I wanted to give some framework before we discuss everything else, because I feel like some people are going to get hung up on, well, everything is illegal. No, it's not.
Right.
No, it's not. He's perfectly within his rights as president to do this.
So speaking of launching missiles, I would like to point out a mere 5 hours prior to this announcement of a ceasefire agreement, Iran launched a dozen missiles at, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, Al Udeid, I think it is, air base in Qatar.
Yes.
The biggest air base in the region, our base. They launched a dozen missiles at our base. Now, they were all intercepted, so no damage was done. But why are they launching missiles just before they're telling Trump, yeah, hey, we're ready for peace? I personally, me, Pip, think that this is maybe some kind of a ploy to just bide their time. Reason being, just within the last couple of days, they were threatening to retaliate by means of terror attacks here in the States. What's next weekend?
Well, no, the weekend after is 4th of July.
That's this weekend. No, that's what I'm saying. Next weekend, not this coming weekend. Next weekend.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, it's 4th of July, yeah.
So I'm wondering, is that when they're going to get the wild hair up their ass? They've had years to plan. We've had years of open borders. They've had years of logistical support from other countries to just get into the country by other means through the ports.
Oh, yeah.
I could tinfoil hat my way and red string corkboard how all this shit could happen. But I don't think people want to sit here and listen to that. So I'm just saying it is a non-zero chance where that's an absolute possibility. One other big point I would like to make. This morning, our time, Israel went into some of those sites that we hit. I don't know if they went to all three sites, but I know they went to at least Fordo. They went in boots on the ground. There was another assault, and they were also doing an on-site assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Between the ground team and aerial surveillance, one thing they did not find was the presence of radiation. So that concerns me for a couple of reasons. Either A, they did not actually have any uranium, and this is like the second biggest intel FUBAR in U.S. history, or B, they moved all the uranium and they still have it all, which is why I'm concerned that this is them biding time.
So here's a point I'd like to make. This is where I not only agree with you, but I'm even going to double down on it.
Okay.
The Iran has been funding the Taliban and other guerrilla terrorist organizations for decades. They know how to maneuver and hide stuff. And they're especially experts at hiding things in mountainous areas where there's caves and caverns and other stuff and ways to maneuver things. I fully expected that they would have moved the uranium weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because why would they keep it there? As soon as that was made public that it was there, they probably already moved it. But we're playing a weird game of intelligence bingo, where it's kind of, if we know where it's at, we can't say where it is. So we can't acknowledge what it is, because then they'll move it. Then they know. It's like that problem of they know that we know that they know, so they know that we know, so we know that they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that stupid fucking thing that happens every time. So it's the problem of you're bluffing on bluffs. Oh, yeah. But that's the thing.
Right.
So it's if Trump is smart, he's playing a long game where hopefully he already knows where that's going to be moved to.
Right.
So the idea is you get it out of where you don't want it to be and move it to somewhere where you do want it.
What I'm hoping
is they're moving it to somewhere else that they think is secure that it's not.
So,
because here's my worry. I don't know if you heard from our intelligence she ran for president. What's her name?
Harris.
The military chick that ran for president in the Democratic Party. I can't remember her name.
Gabbard?
Tulsi Gabbard. She mentioned, so her issue was that Iran's nuclear program, they had not quite refined uranium to the point for nuclear weapons, but it was refined to the point for dirty bombs.
Yeah.
So here's my bigger worry. It's not that they were going to develop nuclear weapons, because to be honest with you, we have enough information to where if they launched a nuclear missile, we can intercept or defeat it or do something or negate part of it at least.
Well, it was never nuclear missiles we were worried about. It was the truck bombs. It was the ship bombs. It was the suitcase bombs. That's the stuff we've been worried about. And the dirty bombs.
Well, that's what I'm more concerned about, to be honest with you, because it was at a level to be classified under a dirty bomb. And I don't know if you remember, but remember all the drone testing that was doing supposedly around New Jersey and everywhere else?
Uh-huh.
They were looking for radioactive material.
Yeah.
Here's what I wonder. Is I wonder if all the events that seemed unrelated for the last 6 months to a year actually are related.
Right.
To where I wonder if we found out a couple of years ago, like, hey, by the way, it seems like Iran's going to have the ability to make a dirty bomb. Maybe we should run some tests to figure out how to be able to find radiation in thickly developed cities, thickly developed areas, to be able to neutralize it or at least effectively figure it out. That's where I wonder, where maybe was there some sort of prior planning with this? Have they been playing the long game where,
okay,
hey, do they have people infiltrated that are trying to have it moved to somewhere else that's out in the middle of nowhere?
So let me tickle your noodle here for a second. The other day, there were some flights from China into Iran. They switched off their transponders.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the uranium went.
That's what I wonder.
We do not know what was on those planes, either landing or taking off.
I bet you U.S. intelligence knows, though, because we have satellites that can get imagery at any time. I bet you the intelligence community is aware of it, but they just can't say.
Possibly. And that would be smart to be just to play dumb. So,
because that's exactly what I would do. If I was Trump's intelligence team, I wouldn't say shit.
Oh yeah, learn everything and say nothing. This is traditional. Mm-hmm. Speak softly, carry a big stick.
if they're smart. Here's my concern as well with this. If we don't know where it is,
then we're in trouble.
The problem is, well, yeah, because you're talking about the sleeper cell issue.
Yes.
Which could become catastrophic, especially with, again, our still lack of closed borders and our still terrible immigration system.
Yep.
It could be the case of all it takes is one of those in the wrong spot. And it's not just a lot of people dying. It's a lot of people having medical issues down the road. It's generations of people not being able to procreate. It's entire areas of the country maybe uninhabitable.
Yeah.
Just like another Chernobyl. So I hope that they're taking this seriously enough to where when they have not confirmed the nuclear material being there, that they need to figure out, oh, shit, okay, this is move, this is here. But I'm hoping they already are three steps ahead.
Yeah.
Because I would assume at this point we have some intelligence officials in Iran.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting intel from Israel, so we hope that Mossad is as good as they say they are. But yeah. One other thing I want to point out, there have been reports that Iranian MANPAD missiles, MANPAD is Man Portable Aerial Defense Missiles, they have confirmed, reportedly, through apprehended couriers, that the missile systems were smuggled into America at some point through the southern border over the last few years. So they have apprehended the people that were smuggling the hardware, and to try to lessen their sentence or whatever, they're just giving up intel, and they're confirming these systems were smuggled in. These missiles are not just anti-air. You can use them dumbfire mode and engage bridges, trucks, buildings, anything. They can be tipped with material like those, the dirty bomb components. So it's not that big of a stretch to say, again, the tinfoil hat and the red string corkboard. The possibilities are there.
See, I don't really think it's that tinfoil hatty, to be honest with you. Because we're talking about a country that literally their expertise is global terrorism. That's the one part about this that I think people are underplaying. It's not like you're dealing with like Kazakhstan or a country that like really doesn't have a lot of money and a lot of connections. You're talking about Iran, a country full of like, I think it's, you know what? I want to look this up right now because I forgot how many people because I looked it up earlier. I want to look up how many people are in Iran.
I'm going to guess 40 million.
90.61.
Wow.
So the thing is, it's not a small country. It's like double the size of England.
Right.
Oh, sorry, double the size of Canada. England's like 60 million.
Yeah.
So like you have a country double size of Canada in terms of population. That is a country that, man, if you get 0.01% of them becoming extremists, that's a big fighting force.
Yeah.
That is no joke. And especially with their backwards laws and everything else they have there, it is something of a concern.
Yeah. And I mean, not only this, so you've got Israel and Iran, that whole situation is its own ball of wax. You've still got Russia and Ukraine.
Yep.
You've got China with the potential to take on Taiwan while everyone's distracted. Yeah. You've got North Korea, who could take advantage of this and just pull some shenanigans with South Korea. Just fucking because that's Kim Jong. I'm fucking 5 foot tall.
You know what I was thinking about earlier? Do we have any Pacific forces near Taiwan right now, or have they moved all entirely to the Middle East?
I think they've got one force still over there. I do not know that off the top of my head, but I think,
because I couldn't look it up earlier.
Yeah.
I was discussing with some of the guys at work about it.
I know they moved the Nimitz from there.
Yes.
That's a potential false flag operation right there, just waiting to happen.
Oh, I was placing bets with friends of mine that was going to be a false flag today to get us into the war.
Well, another, you know, the Nimitz is still on its way, so we got 2 weeks, buddy.
That's what worries me. That's what I'm talking about, the ceasefire just being you know, because then what they can say is if they put the Nimitz in, they say it's a false flag, You know, they say it's, they're attacked, but it's really a false flag. And it justifies saying, ah, Iran's breaking the treaty, quick. And they put boots on the ground, and then we're in another
fucking,
you know.
We'll never have boots on the ground in Iran. That country is way too shit to fight in. It's worse than Iraq.
I know, but the problem is there's no way to secure it unless you put boots on the ground.
Oh, no, this will be there's an no air way. Campaign. This is where drone warfare will come front and center.
I just feel like there's going to be so many civilians that will be in the way. Like, it's a country of 90 million that's like half in the mountains. Like, dude, that's going to be very tough to not have major civilian casualties, and that will demoralize American and Western support. I think that's part of the issue, where they know they can just hide behind civilians. So it's going to be another one of those problems. You know?
I mean, we let the Freedom Dorito do its thing. We have the B-52s that can just carpet bomb the shit out of every mountain range up there.
They've got the new mini Doritos, too.
We have the mini Doritos.
Yeah.
We have the flying Raptors.
Yeah. The spicy Doritos.
The spicy Doritos, yeah. Uh-huh. We have the drone programs. I mean, it's possible. If we just stick to the small drones, we can do it. We've got the AI infrastructure now. We have kill drones.
Yeah, but what if they have loyalist forces that are several million strong? You know,
we can 3D print drones. That's the nice thing. Ukraine's right fucking there.
Yeah, but what Poland, I guess what I'm getting
Poland at. Is right fucking there. That's European Texas. They're like ready and raring to go.
Well, what I guess I'm getting at is, until they do a campaign to change the culture and change their minds, unfortunately, we have the same problem like we have in the Middle East, where we're always going to be the bad guy, even if we're trying to do the right thing.
Literally,
that's we can win the battle, but we'll lose the war.
Literally, the only way to do it, we have to take out the Ayatollah and push the people to rule themselves, period.
Yeah.
They already want it. They're pushing for it, but they're still too afraid to do it for themselves. We take out the Ayatollah, encourage the people to do what they want to do. That will do it in the right direction. But there again, just back to Team America. World Police. That's all we're doing.
Well, yeah, that's all we are. That's the only thing we're somewhat good at. And even then, we're not great at it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's what I'm concerned about is us raising effectively another generation of people in a Middle Eastern country that are going to hate the West for being the West.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we contributed to that problem for the last 30 years. So also, to be fair, thanks CIA for fucking up the Middle East, by the way. Appreciate that one. That falls squarely on your shoulders on that one. So I guess that's what I'm surprised about, is maybe that we haven't been doing things a little bit more in the background.
Yeah.
In Iran. But I also, I am no intelligence expert.
So
in the military. So
I guess that's maybe why we're relying on Israel so much. Because they're right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not an easy situation. It's not an easy answer. It's not a quick answer. We can hope that the ceasefire stuff holds true, and that Iran plays by the rules, and that they actually are willing to do this. Maybe they'll overthrow the Ayatollah themselves. That's the best case scenario. Like, literally, we just give aid and support to the people, and they overthrow the Ayatollah themselves. Yeah. They pull a Gaddafi.
Which I think that's kind of our best option, to be honest with you.
It really is.
Because if we put boots on the ground there, it's going to be far bloodier than anything we saw in the Middle East.
Yeah.
It's going to drag out, and it's going to be a big issue, especially with the amount of direct funding.
None of us want that. We just got out of the Middle East. We do not want to go back in.
Yeah. And this segues into the second part of the discussion that I did want to have, which is, again, this is a little bit into politics, and I'm curious your thoughts on it, but to me, I feel like this almost in a way has forced Trump to go against one of the things that he ran on, which was no new wars. And I know he's not declaring war. I'm aware of it. But at the end of his first term, he was able to sign 3 or 4 historic peace deals and really stop a lot of war and violence. And this feels almost in a way a step backwards. I understand that it had to happen. I get it. I know. I understand that. But boy, does it feel like for a lot of people that voted for him, it feels like a betrayal for a lot of people. Because a lot of people that I've spoken to that are more like moderates that did vote for him, they're like, man, one of the big things was that he you know, brought a lot of peace.
Right.
And yes, there is a chance this could bring more peace in the long run.
Right. So,
but that's so ambiguous is the problem. It's so.
I think that with him having been pushed out in the 2020 election, it railroaded a lot of the plans that he had in place, and so many other steps that he was making were pushed back and totally kicked off to the side. Yeah. Had he been allowed to continue, I think it would have made a big enough difference that this would have never had to happen.
True. I'd agree with you.
And with more revelations coming out, I don't know if you're seeing this, the stuff that I'm sending you or not. It looks like the 2020 election may have actually been stolen, and that's a whole other topic for another episode.
And YouTube, do not come after us for that one. We're using the words may have, possibly, kind of, sort of, maybe.
Yes.
This is not a violation of terms of anything.
That is still free thought.
Yes. No claims are being made here.
No.
I have to say that because YouTube literally, you know the MyPillow guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got sent to jail for making those claims, by the way.
That's free speech.
Yeah, but they used defamation, saying that, well, he was saying, you know, it was stolen. And so that company, Dominion, went after him.
Oh, my God.
So that's the only reason I'm trying to cover our bases here. Cause
well, we're not accusing any company of doing anything.
No, but I don't want YouTube to, you know, be like, oh, you know,
look what they're doing. So
I know. I just don't, okay. I don't want to write that.
We're not making any money yet. It's all right. We're too small.
No, we're not making money.
One other thing I want to bring up. Not only do we have all this shit going on the other side of the world, half our country is like on the fucking verge. We have all the shit going on in LA. And I have a question that I want to ask people.
Mm.
Is LA even really an American city anymore? Given the state of the population there, the policies of the people that are controlling the area, it's been deemed a sanctuary city. And the people that are in the government seats there have been fighting like hell to protect the people who have come into this country illegally, and they're protecting those people at the cost and the expense of their own actual citizens. Go ahead.
Do you know there is a local representative in Minnesota that is now going to be facing jail time?
Yes.
Because she openly admitted
that she was an illegal immigrant, and she's sitting in a House seat.
Yes.
Which means she voted illegally too, because you can't sit in that seat unless you're a voter. She's facing all kinds of charges.
Oh, yeah. It's become one of these things to where it is apparent. And a little bit of preamble here. I'm an open-minded person. I like discussing with people that have different views and all that.
Same here.
The problem I see is there are no longer any, I guess, adjoining social ideas or commitments or contracts to where we have to treat people a certain way or behave a certain way. It's really become a free-for-all. And what I mean by that is there are certain areas of the country that fundamentally don't really behave or operate in a way in which abides by the Constitution or the spirit or legality of the law. And when you talk about places like sanctuary cities, I understand that they feel that they have the right to say whether someone's here legally or illegally. They're wrong, but I understand why they feel that way. However, it seems to be there's a fundamental lack of understanding when it comes to the immigration system and when it comes to where their authority stops and ends with these cities. It is the issue of the federal government has to make a stand and say either one, if you ignore federal law, you no longer receive funding, which I agree with that sentiment or mentality. Or the option two is your police department is no longer a legitimate police department. and you will be removed and replaced.
Right.
Because the other problem is, and I've said this many times on this podcast, I know you agree with this one, the only laws that matter are the ones that are enforced. If a law is not enforced, it effectively doesn't exist. So until those laws that are in place that abide by the Constitution and that, you know, abide by our societal values are enforced, they really don't matter. A lot of our laws have become very conditional based on where you live. And I would agree with you that there are some areas of the country that really are not representative at all of American values.
Look at some of the spots in Michigan, dude.
Well, you have places in Michigan, Wisconsin, New York, California, Washington, Oregon, you know, Massachusetts, New Jersey. I mean, there's quite a few places to where the laws really, they're completely different. And also, unfortunately, I think the laws are very much dependent on whether you're a citizen or not. You know, because look at, for example, the case in California. I know we brought this up with the healthcare episode and a few other stuff, but imagine being able to pay less for medical expenses because you're not a citizen. Imagine being able to not have to pay at all because you're not a citizen. Imagine also not being a citizen, not having insurance, and then literally being able to walk out and pay nothing. Whereas an American that does have insurance has to pay like thousands of dollars. There are so many things to where it's rigged against the people that abide by the laws that so many people are starting to not abide by the laws.
Imagine being a citizen of this country and needing help to get by in life and being denied. But if you're illegal, you get food assistance cards with balances on them in the tens of thousands of dollars and cash assistance balances in the tens of thousands of dollars. That is insane.
Well, it's one of those things where we have veterans that are sleeping on the ground and people that aren't able to afford houses that did everything right. And I have no problem helping people if after we had helped, you know, our own citizens first. I feel bad for a lot of people that come from, you know, third world countries and that come from these places that are really tragic.
The amount of desperation and shit that they're willing to go through just to get here tells you how bad it is for them there. I understand completely that they're willing to come here and what they're willing to go through to get here for a chance at a better life. Does the immigration system need a change? Abso-fucking-lutely. But there are laws that have to be followed. Plain and simple.
Well, you can't change a law by just ignoring it.
Right.
You have to go through the process. And this is the problem I do want to call out certain politicians on and say that, hey, why are you sitting there, you know, bitching and complaining about a system where you've been part of it for the last 30 or 40 years? You know, not for nothing, I will tell you this right now, regardless of which side you're on, if the politicians wanted to change it, they would have done it decades ago. I don't want to hear about anyone saying, oh, this party or that party is going to change it. This is, no, BS. If they wanted to, they would have. Most of the average people in politics are there for over 20 years. Are you kidding me? They don't want to change it because term they're able to manipulate it in their favor. Oh, well, term limits, and also if you're old enough to collect retirement, you should not be in politics. Not a lot of them.
Yep.
But no, nope, absolutely not. Those two things, it's one of those things to where if Trump doesn't do either one of those, I will be very unhappy. But I feel like he has to. That should be one of the last final things he tries to help Congress get through. It's like, hey, pass this. That will make him go down as one of the best presidents in history. If he doesn't do that, most people aren't going to care, because I hate to say it, and I'm going to say this for a lot of people, and people are going to find that what I'm going to say insensitive, but I don't care. It's very hard for me, as someone in my 30s, to have any trust at all in politics when the same politicians have been in for 30 to 40 plus years, and all of them are so far out of my age bracket, they cannot relate to a single struggle I have. They cannot relate to anything that goes on in my life. So why would I ever have a vote of confidence for them? And that also, by the way, includes Trump on that one. Like, yeah, sure, he's the better of two evils, but I mean, he's so far removed from the struggles of any day person. That, like, sure, he has good people around him, but I'm not going to bullshit and say, oh, yeah, he knows the struggles. No, he doesn't. None of them do. None of the people in that fucking cabinet do. Absolutely not, because almost every single one of them are in there because they're a career politician.
I think literally J.D. Vance is probably the only one who probably does understand those struggles.
And I'll be honest with you, he's probably the only person there, if you've noticed, he has shut the hell up in terms of as a vice president. He's just there to support, and he's doing a very good job. I was worried he was going to be saying too much stuff like Mike Pence was doing and just kind of back, you know, kind of undermining everything. But no, J.D. Vance, I think he gets it. Now, is he perfect? No. But you know what? He's at least within the realm of someone that I think a lot of us can relate to.
Oh, I love the fucking memes of him, the AI shit.
Oh, dude, some of them are good.
Oh, God. Like the baby Vance and stuff like that.
Yes.
They're great.
Until the political parties get their act together and actually want to listen to people, I still feel like no matter what, they're always going to be a net negative overall.
Oh yeah.
Most people are not
every happy with every them. Politician is a net negative no matter what. If they're a career politician, yeah, they're a negative.
You know, I know there are some good ones, I'm sure, but not many. I'll tell you that right now. You know, because it doesn't seem like we're making, because at home, like what's happening here, like sure, all of our efforts are abroad, but things aren't getting much better over here. You know, because I think this is where I'm a little disappointed, where he's spending so much time being focused on Iran. There's not much happening domestically to change things. And we were promised one thing, and unfortunately he's not really delivering it. And I know there's a lot working against him, but historically in the midterms, the Republicans are going to lose seats. So if he was going to make stuff happen, it's now. He has like literally a year.
Yeah.
A year to maybe a year and a half to get things in place, make things happen, or else it's just going to be irrelevant. Because historically he will lose seats and most likely lose the majority. Now, who knows what's going to happen? Because in politics, a month is a year. So who the hell knows? Everything could change 2 days from now. But
hey, theoretically, we'll be in the singularity by a year from now. So,
oh my God,
we could just be running, have our entire civilization run by sentient yogurt.
No, the problem is AI Nixon's going to come back. That's going to be the issue. I want to hear I AI Nixon just say, "I'm back, bitches." As she just ascends from like a head to glass jar kind of
thing.
Yes, it's possible though, and you know what? I wonder what would happen if AI programs start running as politicians.
Oh, that'd be great.
If they gain sentience, if they gain like actual rights.
Okay, so that is something that was brought up in the interview with the Gen Z kids.
Oh, then I won't say another thing.
Well, no, it was brief, and it's going to spawn probably a whole other episode. We got very off topic and into some other questions that, because I asked about all the stuff going on in the world right now. And then I asked them one like question that was very podcast centric, and it kind of went down the line. One thing that we're going to have to consider at some point, will we need some kind of a bill of rights for AI? I mean, it's getting very, very close. It's already passed the Turing test.
So,
will
for anybody? Sorry, you go.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I know where I'm at.
No, what I was going to say is for anybody that's watched Star Trek, What Makes a Man, I believe, is the episode. It is probably the most relevant and important episode you can watch. And I think almost all of Star Trek. Just look it up. It's this whole episode's on YouTube.
Possibly even sci-fi, not just Star Trek. It's a very profound episode.
It is probably the episode that I watched as a kid that really opened my eyes and made me think, oh shit, that this is deep. This is not just an A or B question. This is not something you can just answer. If you have some time, look that up on YouTube. You know, What Is a Man? Star Trek Next Generation.
What Makes a Man?
What Makes a Man? Sorry. I'm thinking of the other documentary, but What Is a Woman? But but What Makes a Man, and watch the episode. You don't have to know anything else in the background. It's a pretty good standalone episode. If you know a little bit of background, it helps, do a little research. But that is, I think you're asking a very good question of what are the criteria and how are we going to legally enforce that? And then the other problem of like, how are laws applied? What's going to happen? How the fuck do you arrest a software?
Right.
Like,
yeah. So it's an interesting enough thing. And I feel like Maybe that's a whole episode somewhere down the line.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Do we make AI internet police?
Possibly. It's deep. You know, I mean, the Muslims have their own sect of police, so maybe the AI gets its own sect of police.
You know, I should the terrifying thought of a Terminator-looking motherfucker that's an AI comes up to me, grabs you by the shirt, lifts you up, and goes, "You said a mean comment on Instagram. You're under arrest." It's like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, you can
I'm not AI. These. Can't touch me, bitch. Nah.
That can get out of hand so quick, though.
Oh, easily.
Like, I just, oh, man. Then the problem is you have AI people, like, running around. Like if you've seen the movie iRobot.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you got an S4s effectively walking around with AI that have full rights, like, we lose all our jobs.
Or
like,
NS5s.
I'm sorry.
Hey, we've been talking about it for months now.
I know. I don't like that, though.
I hate being right. But God damn it.
I know.
If people share this podcast, they would be more aware of it.
That's why, like, I always tell people, like, get a job that can't be replaced by a robot. Because, yep. Like, dude, it's... Unfortunately, so here's... One of the problems I see is, like, we're talking about bringing jobs back to America, but we're bringing back mostly manufacturing jobs that are just gonna get replaced
They're
by robots.
They're going to go anyway. To the robots, yep.
It's like, dude, I think eventually I'm going to have to be converted to your side about UBI. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet about universal basic income, but
boy, dude, listen,
do I not like where we're going.
I fucking hate having to be on that side, but I can see what's coming down the pipe. I've got a few years on you, so I can see what's coming. Like that girl on her knees in front of the porn star, I can see what's about to hit me.
I just don't like... I don't like how you're referencing us, all of us losing our jobs as an AI basically effective of like a money shot. That's this is no. This is not a good thing. Nobody likes this.
Oh.
No. Oh God.
But am I wrong?
That's a meme an AI would make. Like, hashtag coming for your jobs. Like I was to tell you. Like, so I don't know.
Right.
It's just one of those things where like maybe we need to look at overpopulation issues and you know start looking at those. Maybe don't have 9 kids.
Right.
You know? But that's a whole separate. But let's... I don't even know how the fuck did we segue from like 37 degrees away from...
It's us. It happens.
I know.
I don't know. I've still got my notes up. I can kind of hit some points real quick if you want.
Yeah, sure. If there's any points that we missed, yeah.
Well, so the Straits of Hormuz... Yesterday it was potentially closed. Now we'll see if it goes back to being open. I don't see it affecting us a whole lot because 5% of our oil comes from there, but like 30% of China's. So I think it'll affect them more than anything, but it'll still affect oil prices because reasons. I don't know why basically it should affect us, but
what's going to happen? I was actually listening to a podcast earlier talking about that. They did like an emergency episode.
Traitor.
So there are tankers. Hey, I'm allowed to scope out the competition. So there are tankers that are already turning around.
Oh, yeah.
Which the problem is that's going to mean there will be there might be a small temporary shortage. Not like a shortage is and you can't get it. But what that means is the supplier is going to be a little bit down. Demand will be up, especially near the middle to end of summer. There might be a bit of a spike. But that will level out at some point. Especially
again,
near the
it
end of
shouldn't
the
affect us, though.
We'll see it. Because of investments and because of stock markets and everything like that, I'm willing to bet you'll see a probably 5 to 10%, maybe 15% increase, just as being like an amateur economist.
Yeah.
Just because
we'll see it
even
just
with
because
speculation,
the shit exists. We don't have an issue with the oil. But there's a problem over there, so we're going to take advantage of it because money.
Yeah, because speculation.
Yes.
That's what people need to understand. The value for most things is based off of speculation, not based off of any real world
value.
So.
Also, I would like to point out, several years ago, we had $140 a barrel oil, and we were paying like $3 to $4 a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 21, during COVID, oil was like $100 a barrel, and we were paying $6 a gallon. In the Midwest, it was like 12 in California. Just to kind of reiterate where the spending power of the dollar is, like we've talked about.
We also have to factor in, we've closed down a few oil refineries in the U.S., and because of EPA and environmental regulations, they made it far more difficult to refine and transport and manufacture this stuff. So you could blame the EPA and all the other shit that's been going on, plus all the additives and everything else, and ethanol regulations, and
yep,
you know,
also all the oil leases that got canceled and the pipelines that were canexed. But anyways, the next point I wanted to bring up, this is a big one. There are some things that people don't take into account when it comes to the vulnerabilities of America. We do not have an Iron Dome. We do not have a Golden Dome like he's trying to put in place. I can't help but think of the golden showers when I think of the Golden Dome. Yeah, I know. It's just a thing that just Zoidberg's into my head.
Oh, God.
Iran has already successfully practiced launching ballistic missiles off of freighters in the Caspian Sea. They did this by disguising them to look like normal commercial cargo ships, and they were fired out of cargo containers. Russia has always also containerized ballistic missiles that are nuclear capable. And we already know they have worked with Iran and other countries that aren't exactly friendly towards us haven't been friendly towards us in the past. North Korea has even pulled some shenanigans with ship-based missiles disguised as cargo. Those were surface-to-air missiles. Those, however, were intercepted trying to go through the Panama Canal because those idiots thought they would try to sneak through the canal by turning off their ship transponder. They found those missiles packed in with sugar.
I'm not surprised.
How hard do you think it would be for Iran or China or somebody to park a couple dozen of those ships off of our coast and just start waylaying a city or two?
Wouldn't be hard.
At all. And we have nothing there to stop them.
No.
Unless they try going for DC, which we have anti-missile systems on top of the White House. But outside of that, we have nothing.
I'll be honest with you, I'm pessimistic enough to where I don't think even if our government could stop it, I don't think they would.
No, they'd let it happen. Just
they need another 9/11.
Yeah.
9/11 worked once. Why wouldn't it work again?
I know.
You know, although they can't hit the same thing twice. You know, it's kind of not good, not there.
So, well, no, there's... Well, there is a new tower they could hit.
Unless they hit the 9/11 memorial, just make a deeper hole.
I'm still worried they're going to go after 4th of July celebrations.
You know, that's something I hadn't considered, and I'm glad for that we're staying away from everybody. We're just going to go hang out in a small town.
Yeah.
For that, and just be away.
I live in a small enough town that if somebody that looks like that is around, they're going to get watched. I hate to say that profiling is a thing, but in my town, profiling is a thing. It's a thing. I'm sorry. This is like a 98% white town.
It is the Midwest. I mean, yeah, aggressively Midwest. You know.
I mean, shit. Yeah, when my ex-wife was here with me, she accounted for like 10% of the Hispanic population in town.
She was the diversity. That's it. That's in terms of diversity, we have one.
Right. Yeah, let them hit like a major fucking 4th of July celebration. You thought
I hope
that,
not.
You Jesus. Thought America united on 9/12? Fuck you, assholes. See, you will see unity like never before.
See, but that's the issue, though, is if they do that, all of a sudden the rest of us are going to be like, yeah, fuck you, now we can glass you. Like,
yes.
That's exactly the wrong thing of what Iran would want to do, because then they're screwed. They're absolutely screwed. There's no way.
What they fail to realize is we can drill through glass.
It's hard to live on glass, chuckle fuck, as we're just throwing nukes at them. I don't know. I would genuinely hate to see any sort of war breakout or any fight, but that being said,
I don't want to see it, but
it's one of those things we always win in the end. Like, yes, a lot of people would, you know, unforcibly be removed from life, but you know,
fuck. I what? Do not know his name, but I sent it to you. I think, he's
sent me a lot of stuff.
I know. I'm sorry. News anchor. He was talking about the other night, the way that he was talking to, or like, pouring his heart out to President Trump, like, look, if you're going to do this the right way. Yeah. Fuck, I cannot remember his name.
One does he work for?
Independent News. I don't know.
That does not narrow it down, sir. Are you talking
I know.
Tim Pool, Dave Rubin. Are you talking like? Are you talking some more conservative guys like Stephen Crowder?
Conservative guy, but he's
Matt Walsh, probably. I don't know.
I know who that is. I'm trying to see if I shared it in our other Discord.
But I would agree with you that it's one of those things where if you're gonna do it, you do it in the dead of night where no one's gonna know. You bomb every single, you know, government military building type of thing. You make it so there's no way they could ever officially respond to anything.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate, but if you're going to do it, you have to go big or go home.
Right. I'll have to check the messages I sent you because I'll never find it. Oh, there he is.
Where the fuck is the, oh, there it is. Every time.
Well, I sent you another thing with him. He's on Newsmax. He just kind of looks like a Newsmax. Chad. He looks kind of like a wrestler, like Wish.com John Cena. I don't know.
Wish.com John Cena.
Here, is that I'm going to...
Are you talking about the Sean Ryan show?
No, I know who Sean Ryan is, not him.
Okay, I was going to say.
All right,
oh, you got that guy, that guy.
Yeah, this guy. Him. He was pouring his heart out to Trump. I can't think of his fucking name. It's not even on that video. But he was calling out saying, if you're going to do this, you know, let loose the dogs of war and let us do what we have to do. Don't tie our hands. Because he served and was in Afghanistan and in Iraq and saw what happened when we were sent over. And we had all these restraining rules of engagement. Like, oh, you can't fire back if somebody shoots at you and then drops their gun. Or if they use human shields.
Yeah.
Because they picked up on these things and they knew what was going on.
You know, and the problem is, it's not like you can ask the people of Iran to leave because then you're going to get sleeper cells everywhere else across the world.
So well, Trump sure as fuck told the people of... Iran's kept to Tehran that they needed to evacuate and they fucking evacuated.
See what he's going to have to do, I think, to play this smart is wherever the nuclear material is going, he's got to find a way to get them to evacuate just so it's easier to use the drones to find the material and just bomb specifically those people.
Yep.
There's got to be able to play nuclear whack-a-mole. There's got to be a way, but I don't know. It's just, it seems like no matter what you do, you're going to be, there's going to be some innocent civilians that are going to get in the way.
There are acceptable losses in the doctrines. Typically it's zero, but depending on the situation. But if he's going to play a nuclear whack-a-mole, he will touch their talala and he will find what we're looking for.
Their ding ding dong. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but hopefully, Here's the other plan is I just hope I hope Mossad or like the Israel just goes in and just wipes out the leadership while they're mobilizing, trying to scramble, trying to move around, figure it out, sneak some people in there, get them while they're in transport, you know, while they're not paying attention, while they're not fortified or solidified down somewhere.
Yep.
You know, just take the leadership down from the top down.
Take out the Ayatollah, call it a day. Iran will take care of itself afterwards.
You know? Then you go in offering humanitarian supplies and peace and the usual thing, and you know.
We have been. That's the other thing. videos are coming out from Iran of all the aid that's being offered from Israel, from America, from, I think even Saudi Arabia has been dropping supplies. And they're sitting there talking to, like, it's not our own country that's offering us this food and this water and this medicine. It's America. You know, America is not the devil that they're saying it is. It's our leaders. The people over there know what's going on.
So what you have to do is continue that campaign, force the actual government to collapse, let the people starve from the government, then we offer the help.
Yep.
And that way, no matter what, at least they have some sort of preferential or deferential, you know, view. But, you know, the problem is we're not very good at the world building aspect. We're very good at getting rid of people. We're not very good about, like, hey, let's start up a new democracy here and let the people actually do their thing. Because every single time the military-industrial complex and the politicians get their grubby little hands in it and say, well, you could have a democracy. But you know what we really care about? Stockholders. You know what we really care about? Making money. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just, I hope there's a way around it. And I hope Trump sees through that. Because, did you hear, and this might be an episode for another topic for another episode. I can't English. I'm sorry. I've had a day. Did you see anything about the selling off of federal lands?
To China or to other people?
To like BlackRock.
No.
That was floated the other day. I don't know if it got approved, but it got floated, the idea of selling off a bunch of land.
So, okay, I would rather have BlackRock own them than China.
Here's my question to both you and everyone else at home. If people can find some information on that, because that was literally trending for like 6 hours the other day, and then for some reason it just vanished. So, and I can't find anything official on the House floor or anything like that about it, but people were claiming that a bill got passed or was getting voted on. And I guess it brought up the question of how would you feel if to reduce debt and to reduce the overcrowding, we started selling federal land for cities to be built on?
Yeah, let's do an episode on that.
That's what I thought.
Some new cities would not hurt, but I don't want them to be corporate cities. So.
See, now you're picking up.
Well, okay. Hey, we have an episode on the docket for cities of the future. So,
well, this is kind of what I'm tying into. I was curious if you had heard anything, and I was curious if I was going to see anything in chat, but no. So I think I might have got bamboozled online. It happens.
AI videos are a thing, man.
Dude, some of them are getting way too good. Like, they keep getting better and better every week.
Hey, VO3 turned 1 month old just a few days ago.
Oh god.
So give it 5 more months.
No.
Yeah, buddy. We talked about that.
No, let's not do that. You know what's gonna be scary are the kids that are being born now that by the time they're old enough to comprehend what's going on, they're gonna grow up in the AI world. Like, it'd be terrifying.
Yeah. You know what's an even scarier thought? There might not be kids being born after the next 10, 15 years.
They're going to be born somewhere.
No, I don't think
India's stopping anytime soon. They got a history of that, man.
Well, I mean, here, with the rate of development and everything, I think generation, maybe beta, is probably going to be the last generation that has kids the traditional way.
Well, I mean, most people can't afford kids, so there's no. Yeah, maybe you might be right. Who knows? They might be adopting AI kids to reprogram them,
like Tamagotchis.
They're just gonna be more expensive Tamagotchis. Oh my god, man, this one won't shut the fuck up. I'm gonna recode it.
Oh god, last little fucking topic segue. They achieved CRISPR without using CRISPR by using goo.
Huh? I'm sorry. You have to be more specific with, and I quote, goo.
Well, basically they used a virus or something along those lines to achieve CRISPR level results in vivo. So in a living adult, not a placenta based child.
Ah. So, how? What?
I'll send you the article.
Okay, because I'll have to read that. But how could they pot? I don't like this dystopian future we're going into. It's getting weird.
My first thought was, how can it be turned into a weapon?
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
My second thought was, maybe COVID was a test run.
Yeah, no, I'm good, thanks. I'm telling you that right now. If COVID Part 2 comes, I'm not abiding by a fucking rule. Nope. 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 Did that once. No. Did my part. Yeah. Never again. Never again.
No.
No.
I didn't abide by the first rules. They could eat my entire ass.
I unfortunately live in an area where if I didn't, I wouldn't be allowed to do anything.
So I wouldn't have done anything. They can eat my entire ass, every square inch of it. And there's a lot of square inches. So yeah,
you live in an area where no one gives a shit, which is very nice. Everyone's just very nice and chill. In my area, everyone's very uptight, but like, you gotta follow the rules. Yo, if the government says,
I am the rules.
So
yeah, but that, I think we're far enough off topic and everything. We've covered all the points we wanted to cover.
I guess keep a lookout for any weirdness happening in any of the other war zones, because I think this is going to be a distraction. I fully expect, by the way, China to move in on Taiwan, or at least start making advancements and start like encroaching.
And honestly, not just the war zones. Keep your head on a swivel for the next few weeks around your towns. Just because, like I said, the lone wolf stuff, we're going to start gathering together for events for the next couple of weeks. So I fucking hate saying this. If you see something out of place, don't be afraid to fucking just keep an eye on it. Trust your gut. The old see something, say something campaign.
Yeah.
Well, you don't necessarily have to say something, but just keep your fucking eye out.
Keep note of it and make actions accordingly. You know, if you feel uncomfortable, fucking say it and get out of there. Let me tell you.
As another famous YouTuber likes to say, act accordingly. Absolutely.
It's, you know, with how crazy things are nowadays and how, like, between all the different riots and everything else that's been going on, you know. Like, did you hear what happened the other day at one of the No Kings riots?
Oh, Lord.
There were a bunch of socialists basically at that event.
And no.
Yeah, I know. What a shock. Well, one of them was walking around with a rifle. The other one had a couple of pistols. And I guess they were scared with the guy with the rifle. So the guy with the pistols fired first. And the guy with the rifle ran away and then fired back. And I guess the guy with the pistols killed some innocent guys. But the police arrested the guy with the rifle. And then now they're realizing he did nothing legally wrong. Because since he's leans left, he is allowed to open carry a rifle, which in that area you're not allowed to. But, you know, because of the politics, it's fine. It, you know, it's okay because they're different. The Democrats are different. That's how that works. But yeah, and yet the news hasn't reported on it at all.
I've heard nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Just throwing a little hypocrisy. Just pointing out the hypocrisy in there. You know,
great that, band, by the way.
Is hypocrisy. A band called
Oh, yeah.
I've literally never heard of them.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, I'll look them up after this.
Yeah.
But
Virus, great track, or great album.
Seems very timely. Very apropos. But keep an eye out for the media. They've been purposely not reporting a lot of shit lately.
Independent media is your best source in this kind of a situation.
I will shamelessly plug a couple of them. I really think there's independent media that's way better than any of the mainstreams.
Yeah.
So, you know, please. please follow them. They're way better.
Yeah. As much as I like to try to look for, you know, user generated videos, like user recorded stuff, with the advent of all the AI bullshit, you've really got to be on your fucking game to look to see what's fake and what's not.
Yeah, it's, I've been bamboozled a couple times so far. So
yeah,
I've had to like dig deep and be like, ah, shit. So I do recommend staying away from mainstream media, because even they're starting to fall for the bullshit. Like, I saw one of them.
That's bad.
Well, when the Ukraine war started, they were posting Arma 3 footage, Arma 2 and Arma 3 footage. And I saw that, was like, wait a minute, I know that map. I know Tana. Wait, what? I know Tanawa. And I saw it, was like, oh, you fucking idiots. Because yes. It showed like a C-Wiz trying to shoot down a like an Su-27 flanker going by.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not Ukraine at all. This is, motherfucker, this is tropical. Does thou even topography? Like, do you even understand?
Do you topograph?
So, it's not the first time and won't be the last.
Oh, no.
But I personally, I will say I do get a lot of my stuff from Tim Pool. I do like his stuff, even though I don't always agree with everything he says. He's probably the gateway for you to get into independent media, just because he's very honest and he does admit when he fucks up. And that's unlike basically every other mainstream media person. So,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Anything else you want to?
The only other thing I wanted to plug, and I was curious if you had watched this, because this might be another episode too. Did you watch the Tucker debate with
Cruz?
Name? Yes.
I caught bits and pieces of it.
Okay. So this is the other part of the debate that we don't really have time to go into tonight, because I think we both need to watch that podcast. I do want to do an episode of basically how our politicians are selling us out, because if anyone at home wants to watch it, don't watch it because you're a supporter or anything. Watch it because you get to see in real time who the swamp is and why these kind of people are pushing us in these kind of wars and this kind of stuff. Ted Cruz was not somebody I was super into. He has proposed some good things and has done some good stuff. But his interview with Tucker Carlson, I will tell you right now, I don't think Ted Cruz is going to win another election. I think he's done. He has sunk his entire legacy and everything he's worked for in the last 20-something years in politics in one-hour interview. It is, if you want to be up to date as to why maybe we push so hard to defend Israel, he is one of the reasons why. And it will give you a lot of historical context in terms of our political parties as to why we've been so dead set on defending Israel for the last 40 years. So just watch it. Trust me. You'll thank me. Or you'll be tearing your hair out and cussing me out. I don't know. But it's worth a watch.
Yep.
Because, yeah.
So, well, yeah. Other than that, I didn't talk to you about this ahead of time, but I want to put out a challenge to all the listeners. If you're still here, share the podcast with one or two people that you know that you think would enjoy the podcast. Just trying to spread the information, spread the knowledge, because we have apparently been prophets and predicted way more than we should have. So, get the information out there, get the, share the love. So I challenge you guys to share it with people that you, that are in your circle.
Absolutely. Share it with other people that enjoy these kind of conversations and discussions, and you never know. You can learn something from anyone. Anyone can learn something from this podcast. So give it a shot, give it a share, give it a try.
Hell yeah.
Hey, at the worst case, even if we just make you question your sanity, we are still doing our job.
That's the goal.
That's our baseline minimum.
That and making you uncomfortable.
you're really good at saying something that makes me question everything.
Every week, buddy.
Yeah, that's always the goal. And, I think besides, I just do want to apologize for my inconsistent schedule with life. So hopefully things give me a couple of weeks got some stuff because we got holidays coming up. We're going to be trying to do our best to, you know, get some episodes out and get some things going.
Yeah, just for reference, we're probably going to Mondays for a little while.
Yeah.
Instead of Sundays. So just a heads up.
Yeah. It's just, so the quick story is in my area, it has rained 14 weekends in a row. It's a record for Massachusetts. So
that's pretty moist.
Fuck you. just you know, Anyway, fuck you.
Right
anyway.
Off your rails.
Absolutely. So the point I'm getting at is I now have to do like 3 to 4 months of yard work to catch up on. And I have been struggling. To give you an idea, I literally had just to order a new weed whacker. I burned out the other one. It's dead.
Wow.
It died within a few weeks. So like,
rent goats.
You know, you're the third person to suggest that to me. But my problem is I spent my entire life taking care of farm animals I never wanted. So then for people to suggest goats, another animal for me to have to pay money to take care of?
No. You rent them like by the day.
I know. They're $1,000 to do my half my yard. Yeah, I got so invested in this, I got a fucking quote. And guess what I was told? Oh, yeah, for the week and for the several acres you need to cut and for the thick bramble and bush and shit, yeah, it's probably about $1,000.
So, hear me out. Buy goats and rent them out.
Yeah, I know. But then I'm back to the problem of I'm then taking care of animals I don't want, but they make money. So, like...
Yes.
You know, who knows?
They're doing what the other animals didn't.
I know. I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it. I already have the horse fences up anyway. I'm already 50-50 debate on getting goats or even getting a cow.
Both are good.
I feel like the farm life keeps choosing me. I don't choose the farm life.
Uh-huh.
But it just, I don't know. It forces itself back into my life every fucking time.
It's just going to keep spitting on it and shoving it to you. So, we'll catch you guys hopefully next week.
I don't like that euphemism.
It's going to hawk to a right to
you're
you.
You're done. You're done.
Yeah. So we love you guys. We hope that you'll share the episode, share the podcast, and continue to stick with us. We've still got some great stuff coming, and hopefully we can make Johnny Sins jealous. So we will catch you guys on the next one. We love you.